Recently, I made a visit to one of our local schools, and the expectation going in was that I would talk to grade twos about First Reconciliation and First Communion. But then all of a sudden, I found myself in a grade six classroom, and so I had to pivot. And so I basically decided to talk to him about relationships and conflict resolution without making it too obvious that's what I was talking about. And so I basically pitched them a hypothetical. And so I said, well, look, imagine kids, you're married and you're the husband in the relationship. And for whatever reason, you forgot about your wedding anniversary. And so now you're writing a letter of apology to your wife. And let's say the letter reads something like this. Dear Jenny, I'm sorry. Signed, your loving husband. So what's missing? Now, to be fair, they got that part right away, right? So what are you sorry for? Yeah, for sure. But then I said, well, what else are you missing? What else could you say? Now, at this point, the room all of a sudden became divided as between guys and girls. And so the guys, they said some variation of like, well, look, you could say, I'll offer to buy you a steak dinner. To which I said, you know, typical guys, always looking to fix things, right? So before buying the steak dinner, what else could you say in the letter? And at this point, the girls chipped in. So basically what they said was, you need to talk about her feelings. To which I said, well, correct, right? So what are you feeling if you're the wife, and why are you feeling that? Now, initially they said, well, you're angry because he missed the anniversary, to which I said, well, no, try again. Now, it took a while, but eventually they said, well, I guess you're feeling angry, you're feeling upset, you're feeling sad, because when he missed the anniversary, when he forgot the anniversary, you're thinking, well, gosh, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the marriage, he doesn't care about us. Perhaps he doesn't care about me. And I guess on top of that, that makes me feel kind of scared because now I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me going forward? To which I said, yeah, there you go. You got it. Grade six, right? Now, it's a really easy and straightforward example, but it helps to kind of open a wider discussion as to what it means to be sorry. To not just say that you're sorry, but to actually be sorry. Mindful of 1 John chapter 3, right? We're called to love not simply in words and in speech, but in truth and in deeds. So again, what does it mean to not just say you're sorry, but to actually be sorry? And so the first thing that comes to mind is to be specific, to be very specific about exactly why you're sorry to begin with, right? Now, obviously you have to be practical, right? So for example, if you accidentally bump into someone on the street and you say you're sorry, no further discussion is necessary, right? Because you have to get on with your lives and it's a pretty simple open and shut case. But let's say it's a more complicated example, right? And so let's say there's a prior relationship and there's hurt feelings, a sense of a breach of trust, even a sense of betrayal. Well, then all the more reason to be specific in terms of expressing why you're sorry to begin with. And so to use an analogy, I remember years ago taking this course called Good Leaders, Good Shepherds, where they were talking about good feedback, right? And so what they were saying in the course was that good feedback is not positive feedback, but rather good feedback is specific feedback, as opposed to non-specific feedback. And so, for example, you can have positive feedback in the sense of saying, good job, but if it's non-specific, it's still lousy feedback. And so, in contrast, it's a lot more powerful to say, look, I really appreciate how you did this particular job in this particular way. So again, specific as opposed to non-specific. But the underlying point is that the same principle applies when it comes to apologies. And so if you say to someone, for example, look, I'm sorry, well, fine, but if you're more specific in terms of saying why you're sorry, obviously a lot more powerful. Because in the absence of clarity, what you seem to be saying to the other person is like, look, I invite you now to let me off the hook without any sense of responsibility or taking account for the things I've done, the things I failed to do. And so as a result, the apology becomes more about me and making myself feel better as opposed to you and trying to repair the relationship. In any case, the second thing that comes to mind when it comes to making a good apology is to have what's called a firm purpose of amendment. And basically, this term expresses the fact that being sorry is not about how we feel, but rather it's about an act of the will. And so the whole idea is that I have to have some idea as to what I might do going forward to avoid a similar outcome. And so, for example, let's say that missing your wife's anniversary is symptomatic of a certain lack of attention and care in your relationship with your wife. Well, then instead of simply putting that date in the calendar and circling it multiple times over, perhaps you might build into your routine certain kind of habits and structures and ways of being to kind of show your wife on a regular basis that you care, that you're attentive, that you actually love her. Mindful of the fact that there's a huge difference between simply avoiding being a bad spouse as opposed to striving to be a good spouse. But that leads us to the third and final point I want to raise, And basically the whole idea here is that you have to have some idea as to what you might do to make up for the wrong which has been done. And so to use an analogy, let's say that you break a window and you ask for forgiveness for having broken the window. That person might grant you forgiveness, but at the same time, there's the issue of the broken window. And so again, there's this notion of reparation or making up for the wrong which has been done. And I would suggest that as a practical consideration, rather than moving forward with some variation of trying to buy a steak dinner, to focus on feelings, to focus on hurt feelings and emotional pain. And so the example that comes to mind is a movie, actually. So this movie is called The Accountant, which came out in 2016, starring Ben Affleck. And Ben Affleck, in the context of this film, he plays this high-functioning autistic who's really good technically. He's an assassin, he's really good at math, he's really good at accounting. But at the same time, because of his mental condition, he lacks certain social skills. Anyways, this gives rise to a scene early on in the film where he's in prison along with a fellow inmate who is older. And this older inmate is trying to teach him about social cues. And so he gives him a hypothetical. So he says to the Ben Affleck character, imagine it's me, and I'm older, and I'm complaining to you. And I say, like, look, I'm a year older. I don't think I'm ever going to get out of this place. What do you say? To which the Ben Affleck character says, well, I would say you're probably right. You're a lot older, and it's unlikely you'll ever get out of prison. To which the other guy says, well, no, that's the wrong answer. What am I feeling? And then eventually the other guy, he touches on the right response, right? So he says, you're frustrated. Right, I'm frustrated. Now, for those of you who are inclined to have a more practical bent, who are more inclined to kind of buy the other person a steak dinner and kind of solve the problem that way, you got to realize that the primary currency when it comes to relationships is trust. And so if I don't trust you, then we can't be friends, we can't have a deep and rich kind of relationship. And so if there's a breach of trust, you can't simply buy the person a steak dinner. You need to do something to acknowledge the hurt feelings and the emotional pain and reflect it back to that person. Because what you're doing is you're letting this person know, look, I see you and I know you and I love you in your pain. And by doing so, that's how you incrementally build up this reservoir of trust, which perhaps has been lost over a long period of personal neglect. Okay, one final example, and I'll kind of end with this. And so recently I was listening to the Restore to Glory podcast, in the context of which Dr. Bob Schutz was talking about couples retreats. And he said that a lot of times couples retreats will end with husbands and wives writing each other an apology letter. So a more formal version of what we talked about at the very outset of this reflection. And he said that the key to writing an effective apology letter is to not skip to the end, to not skip immediately to the part where you say, I'm sorry, therefore forgive me, but instead to respect the process. To communicate to your spouse in the letter some variation of this. I'm sorry for this thing that I did, which hurt you. And acknowledge that it hurt you in this particular way and caused you to feel this particular way. And so now here's a thing or the various things that I'm willing to take responsibility for. And on top of that, here's the things I'm prepared to do to avoid doing the same thing in the future and to make up for the wrong that I've done. But you know, despite everything I've just said, I invite you to give your feedback. To give your honest feedback. Am I missing something? The things that I've said today, do they accurately reflect your experience of what happened and what you need to move forward in our relationship? And again, the whole idea is that if you take the time to respect the process in this way and hit all those salient points, then at the very end of the letter, perhaps you might say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then on top of that, maybe you want to go out for a steak dinner. And may God bless you all.